This is the Feminem Podcast, the official podcast of Feminem, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Jenny Beck-Esme, editor-in-chief of Feminem. I'm really excited to bring you our next Fix 18 talk. This is from Shayna Zucker, and it's called Queericulum, Creating a Culture of Inclusion. Shayna is a medical student at Tulane University's School of Medicine and is also pursuing master's degrees in both public health and anatomy. She collaborated with one of her peers and Dr. Myo Mint of Tulane, and together they utilized the LGBT docs tool created by Dr. Marcus Bedell of Hunter College to generate Queericulum. Today she discusses her journey to the Queericulum and why every medical program needs one. Enjoy.
A gay woman presents to the emergency department. It sounds like the start of a bad and probably offensive joke. Or perhaps a highly specific story. But what is it not? It's not something you know when walking into a patient's room. Nor is it an identity that we are really educated about throughout our training. And so what happens? Health professionals don't necessarily have the knowledge, cultural humility, skill sets, or confidence in order to be able to manage the unique health needs of a queer patient. I know this because I'm one of those patients. Hi. I could tell you about the countless times where I've been perceived as straight, and then I've been too afraid to correct the history taker. And so then there is all this confusion, and listen, I'm a medical student. I know better. I know the importance of a good patient history. Time and again, that has been instilled in our minds as medical students, and that's the one thing in which I can't contribute to, because it requires an incredible amount of trust and vulnerability in order to be so very honest. And the reason that I'm unable to do so on a one-on-one setting is because it's uncomfortable. But here in front of, I don't know, 600 people, it's totally fine. Perhaps it's because the word queericulum is right behind me in rainbow letters, and you could have made some conclusions that were correct. So while I speak in jest, the real reason for this fear, the reason for the need for vulnerability and honesty and trust, is the fear of discrimination, plain and simple. And it can manifest in all sorts of ways. It can be in implicitly biased comments and glances, or it can be more insidious, or worse, it can be really outright and lead to refusal of care. I had an experience of the more insidious kind in which I went to the doctor and I was asked about what I was doing in order to prevent fertility. Not really relevant to me, and so when I explained that I did not need to protect myself from pregnancy, and before I could continue, she said to me, "How could you be so smart but so stupid?" Yeah. So I could be really smart and interject and explain, "Well, I have a distinct lack of necessity." But realistically, I did not feel comfortable sharing that information with her. And I spoke to a friend of mine, and he said to me that by not disclosing that information, I was being difficult. So this difficult attitude that I seem to be providing is rooted in this fear. And the fear is supported by statistics. So I'm going to run you through some numbers because we love data, data, and more data. So 1 in 4 patients who are identifying as sexual orientation minorities state that they have experienced discrimination in the healthcare setting. And in fact, 8%, are we getting numbers? Yeah, we are. 8% say that they've been thrown out of a physician's office because of their sexual orientation. And it's even worse for trans and gender nonconforming individuals. 8% is bad, 29% is far worse. So it's unsurprising that we would be unlikely to disclose this information without even being asked, because this fear is there. And this fear of discrimination is compounded by this additional fear in which the doctor that you're speaking to doesn't know what to say, doesn't have the language to affirm your identity. And as a result, you are turned into something, a thing to be examined, a thing to be scrutinized, you're foreign, and your identity is completely trampled upon. And so patients, especially those who have additional minority status, have no reason to want to disclose this information about ourselves. And as a result, these barriers are compounding of one another. And what is experienced is enormous healthcare disparities. There's increased risk of cancer among queer patients. And because of this, patients aren't receiving treatment in time. Patients have decreased access to primary care, so their cancer is not detected early enough, and as a result, they have higher mortality due to cancer. There's also higher risk of obesity and all of its friends. So the comorbidities are increased rates. And then, of course, we have increased risk of depression, of homelessness, suicide attempts, traumatic stress disorders, sex disorders, sexually transmitted infections, substance abuse, smoking, the list goes on, but at the end of the day, what we have is shorter life spans for queer patients. And so, a patient who is a queer identifying person does not want to go to their primary care doctor. And then they get sick, and things get worse, and they end up in your emergency department. Your interaction with this patient may be the largest determinant of if they seek healthcare again in the future. So what will you do in order to ensure that your patient feels secure and safe in this environment? So in looking at this problem, I realized that what I knew best was looking at the root, and that would be the lack of proper training during undergraduate medical education. And I realized that I would need some help, and so I went to my mentor with an idea to create a curriculum that addressed the diverse and unique health needs of queer patients. And he directed me to a resource, which I'm about to show you. But first, I want to tell you about some more statistics. 23%. That is the number of trans and gender nonconforming individuals who are afraid to go to the doctor because they fear mistreatment. And then there's this unique number of 50%. And 50% refers to the number of trans individuals who are required to teach their doctors what is necessary for their own care. And so we're putting the burden of responsibility on the patients rather than on the training, which is what I aim to do. And so I was given access to a medical education resource. This is from the Association of American Medical Colleges. And it's a training guide for educators who hope to create curricula in order to teach about these important queer health topics. And so with a friend of mine, the two of us got down to work, and we read through this really robust guide full of resources, one of which are a number of case-based scenarios. And so from these scenarios, we used this as a foundation, and we found 1 to 2 peer-reviewed papers in order to help students fully understand the scenario they were reading. And then we wrote quizzes in order for students to then be able to test their knowledge and see if they really understood the articles and the issues being presented in the scenarios. Now, these cases range from pediatric and adult gender identity, intersex and differences of sexual development, the intersection of queerness with culture and toxic masculinity, and how health professionals make mistakes, but then identify and correct for them, including inappropriate language and behavior. So this is not your LGBT 101. And so, from this, we created these online modules. And I specifically wanted them to be online so that they could be self-paced and they could be easily flexible and adaptable and adoptable, so they can be implemented at any institution on any learning platform. And luckily enough, my institution was interested and picked it up. And it is now a mandatory part of the first year medical student curriculum. tell you about it. The queericulum, because queer health plus curriculum plus my innate desire to create puns out of everything I do, queericulum, is an 8-hour, approximately, self-directed series of 6 online learning modules. And this allows for students to be able to complete it during any time. And while my school implemented it, and this was really exciting for me, it wasn't enough for me because I am an evidence-based researcher and I like data. And so it needed to be evaluated. So using a validated scale, students reported on their perceived knowledge, attitudes, and skill sets prior to completing the modules and after. And what we found was a statistically significant improvement for all students. So this was a major finding. But I realized that while my impossible dream of creating a generation of students who are going to change the world and all be educated in queer health concepts is going to take an eternity. And if I only focus on undergraduate medical education, then it will take double eternity. And that's why I'm here today to speak to all of you. Because graduate medical education and beyond is where we need to start having these conversations. Because it is essential for medical students to be able to look to their mentors and know that their mentors have the appropriate language and have the skill sets that they want to emulate. And so I present to you this curriculum, which I hope to soon make open access. But in the meantime, I want to present to you 3 ways in which you can make your institution more welcoming for queer patients. Welcome. So first and foremost, present the LGBT Bill of Rights and put it all over in poster form or whatever form you want around your institution. When a patient comes into the emergency department and they are more concerned about whether or not they will experience discrimination rather than the reason that brought them to the emergency department, that's a distinct problem. The second tip that I have for you is if you make a mistake and say you misgender a patient, you say Mr. to a patient who is not a man, apologize and then move on. Dwelling in an apology makes it all about you and not about the patient that you just offended. And then the third piece of advice I have for you is just ask. This is a profession of lifelong learning, and so this is an opportunity for you to ask questions. Ask your patient what words make them more comfortable. Ask them what pronouns they use. However, there's a caveat to the just ask rule, which is if it is Googleable, your patient is not Google. You do not want to be asking your patients questions that you can easily find out, turning them into an encyclopedia for you, rather than creating a dialogue with your patient to make them more comfortable. So I leave you with these 3 tips, and I hope to be able to share the curriculum with you, because I've spent this time telling you that queer patients avoid care, and I tell you that we're withholding about our identities unless you ask us specifically. And I tell you that trans patients feel required to tell you and teach you how to care for them rather than the other way around. But I'm not trying to insult anyone in this room. What's important is queer patients experience discrimination, and what we want is for you to learn. And that's what the queericulum is all about. And along the road, we're all guaranteed to make mistakes. People in the medical profession are only human. The reason I'm here today is because I want to instill the reminder that we are too. Thank you.